The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee and watching us on 1301 Access Pittsfield channel on your cable dial. Good morning. I'm Sean Sayre here with you live and local this morning here in our WTBR studio, as we always are on Thursday and Friday mornings. And hope you had a good day yesterday. A hot one, it certainly was. We haven't had that kind of heat in a while. And today, quite a bit different if you get up and look outside, or if you've already been out. Quite breezy out there. A couple of big gusts coming up. You know, the tree leaves are upside down like they are, you know, when you get a big storm. But I guess that's going to be breezy all day and just sort of nice, and about 80 degrees today. Not too bad. And then the real fun starts over the weekend with the weather. So we are going to be in the thick of it here with the summer very, very quickly here in early next week. We have a great show for you this morning. Rebecca Breen is here with me this morning. She is the president of the Pittsfield Parade Committee. That's right, the Pittsfield 4th of July Parade coming up. It's already Friday, June 20th here today. You know, happens quick. So the 4th of July right around the corner, and we're going to be talking all about this year's parade with Rebecca. She actually also happens to be the managing director of Downtown Pittsfield Incorporated, DPI. And so lots of information that she has about Downtown Pittsfield, but in her role this morning as the parade president and director, we're going to talk all about what we're going to be looking for in this year's parade. It's going to be great, as it always is, and we're looking forward to it, as we always do. All right, here we go. The weather forecast this morning from the National Weather Service first, and then our interview with Rebecca Breen. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Wind advisory in effect until 2 p.m. EDT this afternoon. Today, partly sunny this morning, then clearing. Highs in the upper 70s. West wind 15 to 20 miles per hour. Gusts up to 45 miles per hour, decreasing to 35 miles per hour this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then partly cloudy with a chance of showers after midnight. Lows in the upper 50s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour in the evening. Chance of rain 30%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, I definitely felt some of those 45-mile-an-hour gusts this morning. They're out there. It's you know, if you haven't felt the wind in a while, that's definitely it. But we certainly have had our share of rain, and now we're going to get our share of heat. It just happens to be the way it goes when you get the summer. And I think today the summer solstice? I think it is, right?
Yes,
later on today. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, the 20th of June already. My goodness. So the days will start getting shorter. Oh, I hate to say that. Rebecca Breen is my guest here. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I'll bet this year flew by for you.
Absolutely.
And since the last parade, right?
Yes. I mean, I've been part of the Pittsfield Parade Committee for many, many years, and started on Community Group Street, you know, helping all of the, you know, cheerleaders and community groups come in and get organized. And with our previous president moving on to a position that has kept him extremely busy.
a little bit.
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. So when Peter Marchetti was elected as mayor, there was already some transition starting.
Yeah.
So last year, I, along with another one of our members, sort of co-sponsored the parade with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught us everything he knew, along with, of course, the longstanding members of our committee itself. So this year it sort of has fallen onto me. So it's, you know, I love the fact that there is so much support and so much knowledge with our committee members to be able to draw from. And, you know, as all things change a little bit, you know, but it's going to be a great parade as always.
Yeah. Well, and of course, the parade, as we detailed during the COVID shutdown, we did a little documentary at PCTV about the history of the parade. And it had gone through many, many hands over the years where the firefighter folks had done it for a number of years up until maybe the mid to late 70s. And they were, it was a tradition of theirs from, let's say, after World War II, all the way up to the 70s. And then there was sort of that time of change and handover is like, okay, how will this parade continue? Because it was too important for the community, right, to lose the 4th of July parade. It was just it's one of those traditions that we are proud of here and keep close. So, you know, a group of community members came together, much like what you're just describing right now, as a changeover in sort of handling and control from this last sort of administration. And that group of people, you know, stuck with it for a long, long time, right? They were there well over 20 years and really remade a lot of what the parade had been from the previous years.
Absolutely. I mean, every year there's ebbs and flows in terms of the number of individuals or groups that are participating. But I think the core group who have been planning it have been so good at growing what it is and who's involved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, this year, funding is always a question because it is done by donations only. And I think people forget sometimes that even with an all-volunteer crew, no one gets paid to help put this on, that when you put in things like the musicians and you look at the floats and you look at the balloons and all of the things that go along with that, it's not an inexpensive thing to do.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it has some real costs, even though no one's getting paid to put it all together, right? And just describe, because I sort of said it's been the year probably went by quickly for you, but in no means was it just, well, you know, we can't wait for the parade to come, and then it just happens and everything works out great. There are things along the way, probably from day one after the last parade, right, that you're starting in on to start planning next year's.
Absolutely. I mean, starting in August, we sit down and we talk about what best practices were from the parade that just finished up, things that went well, things that need to be improved, ideas that we hear from the public. And starting as early as September, we start talking about the succession of the board itself, making sure we are looking to see who is on coming up to be able to support more, look for more volunteers.
Because the committee is an actual registered 501c3 nonprofit organization.
That
right?
is correct,
not,
yes.
Not directly associated with the city in any way. So, that, again, people need to sort of understand what the structure is there.
Absolutely. It is an independent organization. And as I said, it is fully funded through donations. But we start thinking about the theme. Pretty much in October, by that time period, we want to know. And that sort of drives a lot of the decisions that are made, everything from the Grand Marshal to what type of balloons we want, you know, the number of musical groups and what type of music that we want to bring on board. It also then helps for all of the organizations who want to participate with a float in terms of, you know, what their theme is going to be. Because again, a float is not something that happens overnight. And so for the organizations who take the time and the effort to do that, we want to make sure that they have a guidance on what direction to go.
Yeah. And I would imagine that there's beyond just the parade committee meetings, which are, I assume, at least once a month.
So we start once a month. Yeah. They are the third Wednesday of the month. They have been taking place at the downtown Pittsfield Inc.'s offices now that there's a meeting space there that's large enough. And they, you know, again, right from the start, that monthly meeting is conversation of what grants are available, who do we need to approach for a major donor. You know, again, everything from, again, music is a big one. A lot of these bands book over a year in advance. And then as we get closer, of course, there's more frequent meetings. There's a lot of phone calls and emails that go back and forth for all the small details, everything from bringing in the porta potties to having the cars available for the youth of the year from each of the organizations that local. You know, those
you got to have that, right? You got to have, if people are going to be driven down the street, you got to have a shiny, fun car for them to sit in, and maybe something you can actually see them in, right?
Yes, so convertibles. Yeah, those are important. And then a lot of our partners, you know, we sit down with, of course, the city of Pittsfield, the Pittsfield Police. MEMA comes in because this is a very large event. We also work with companies like Premium Waters, who donate bottled water for the participants. So all of those small details, each of our committee members has a checklist that goes along with which group they're working with. And they start day one checking off, you know, all of those little bullet points. And, you know, at this point in time, it's sort of crunch. Crunch time. So most of everything is completed, but there's always these last minute details in these last 2 weeks.
It's a big project to put together, right? If you can imagine any kind of project you've ever helmed or tried to pull together and organize, this is probably that on steroids.
Pretty much, yes.
Rebecca Breen is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive. We're talking about the Pittsfield 4th of July Parade, which is coming up very quickly. It's only, let's see, 14 days,
14
right?
Days.
Yeah, it's exactly, it's exactly 2 weeks from today, we can say. So let's get into it a little bit and talk about the theme of the parade this year. So you chose that in October of last year, right? So this is something you keep it under wraps, though, right? We don't let people know until we get a little closer. We want it to be a surprise.
Absolutely. And we want to make sure that our theme that we've chosen can be built upon, you know. So this year's theme is Young at Heart, and it is really to celebrate the youth of the community. You know, it is so important. The parade itself, there's nothing like seeing a young child being able to see a balloon or hear the music or, you know, the big smile when a float goes by. And so we wanted to celebrate, you know, as I said, we have both the Boys and Girls Club, the YMCA, Gladys Allen Brigham. They always bring a Youth of the Year as part of the parade. And we thought, why not take those young individuals and expand on that? And that led us everything, as I said, even into our Grand Marshal.
Great. So that's awesome. And I agree, the parade is a special thing for kids, right? I know that we used to bring my kids to the parade, and it was always a fun thing, wrangling them, getting there, and, you know, getting them, you know, all suited and stuff. But the specialness of it, when the stuff starts coming down the street and you get to point to them, look at that, you know, it becomes something in their memory that sticks with them. And I know, you know, we've talked to older folks that maybe left Pittsfield and haven't been here in a long time, and they remember the parade from when they were kids, right? That their family would never miss the parade. They'd come down and they'd participate, or they'd watch it, and it just sticks there right in their memory. So Young at Heart, wonderful theme. So then you get to choose a Grand Marshal.
Yes.
And for anyone that watched our Pittsfield Parade and Preview program, which was a live show here on PCTV, we debuted the Grand Marshal live on TV, which is always a fun event. And I got to host the program this year, which I haven't done in a long time. So the choice of Grand Marshal, obviously it's been in the news now, but in case people haven't seen that, talk about your Grand Marshal.
So our Grand Marshal this year is Madison Quinn, and she is a young individual who, as a teenager, actually started a nonprofit called Strong Little Souls. And it is to help individuals here locally and families who have children who are battling cancer.
And that's amazing, right? So we got to interview her during that program, and I invite anyone who'd like to watch that interview. It is on video on demand on our website, pittsfieldtv.org. You can just click on watch programs and find the Pittsfield Parade and Preview program, and you can watch that wonderful interview with Madison. Madison started this organization when she was 13 years old, right? So, I mean, talk about an underachiever, right?
Yes.
Seriously, just fantastic, and what a wonderful cause. And what was also interesting about Madison, she's still a young person.
Yes.
Right? I mean, we think of 13 as pretty young to start a nonprofit organization that serves kids with cancer. which is just an amazing cause. And yet still in her 20s now.
Yes.
Early 20s. Early 20s. Really.
It really sort of developed and gave her a drive to what she wanted to do. So she is in college now, obviously, and she is looking to be a nurse working with children.
Yeah.
You know, so she knew very early on and recognized, as she said, she was scrolling through the internet and found someone locally who was in need. And she just wanted to brighten the kids' days.
Mm.
And she started by just sending care packages with, you know, stuffed animals and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the foundation really has grown now to where they can help to financially support the families themselves. If anyone has been through something of that nature, you know, being at the hospital, being with your child is so important. And so this organization has just really grown, and it has really given her a focus for her entire life at this point.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's so amazing. And she's brought in major companies who have supported the cause and been able to bring in some major cash to help out with it, too. I mean, again, think about that. Think about how, you know, difficult things like that can be. Although, when you have a wonderful cause like that, you know, you can make your case.
Absolutely.
And I think she has done that really
yes.
well. So, so that's a great choice, and maybe an unusual choice in some ways, because we think of Grand Marshals sometimes as our older folks, maybe people that have had a lifetime or a history of contributions to the community, things like that. Those are sort of the traditional Grand Marshals that we think of sitting in that car. What was the thought process, obviously tied into the theme of this year, Young at Heart, right? But just the idea of maybe changing it up a little bit and maybe making people think a little differently about who a Grand Marshal can be?
I think giving credit to young individuals who are driven and have this type of, I think, vision for their community is important.
Hmm.
You know, again, I love the fact that, you know, in past years, people like Bill Sturgeon, mm-hmm. you know, you are able to see a lifelong commitment.
Absolutely.
But I think if we want our youth to become more involved, and if we want them to look at these sort of big picture items, then we need to be able to give them the credit for what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and maybe this will inspire someone who is, you know, in that convertible with the YMCA or the Boys and Girls Club to say, you know, I could do something like this as well.
Mm. Well, and things like that also help to sort of place young people here in our community, because one of the big complaints I hear about is, well, we raise our kids here, we hope they stay. And then they, you know, go off to wherever, college or school or whatever, start their lives, and they don't come back. Right.
Correct.
I mean, we hear that all the time. We want them to come back. So how is it that we, you know, piece by piece say, no, we need young people as part of this community to strengthen the community and move along and preserve it?
Well, and that also talks to the volunteerism with items like whether it be Madison's Strong Little Souls or even the parade committee. One of the things that we need are more individuals to be involved and looking at young people. My son, who happens to be 30, has joined the parade committee. And again, his thought process is much different than some of the ones, including myself, who have been on it for many years, and is bringing up information and bringing in talents that we would otherwise not have.
Yeah.
And there is a number of young people, both, you know, who work for the school systems, who work for General Dynamics, who work for some of these larger companies, who are looking for things that intrigue them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, looking at Madison or looking at my son, it's something that we definitely need to give them an opportunity to make themselves a part of the community.
Yeah. Yep. And also the idea of volunteering and of getting involved and being on boards and things like that. Sometimes, again, we relate those things to older people, people maybe retired who have a lot more time to do things, right? But then what that does is it starves the younger generations of those chances to get those experiences and to move forward, right? And I always think of it as a generational thing, because as I was younger and looking at older people who were involved in organizations that I was involved with, you know, I learned a lot from them because they had done it for so many years. Way back from the time that they were younger, right? And I'm thinking, well, is my generation at that time, are we active like that? Do we really throw ourselves in and say, I can help with something? I don't know, you know, that we did as much as, let's say, that Greatest Generation, right? That's like the gold standard of generations when they got involved and they built things and they did a bunch of community-minded activities. And sometimes, you know, I think we're a little bit more inward-looking these days. We're more on our devices and our phones and our screens and not out and active with other people. And that's one of the big things about getting involved with the like something like the Pittsfield Parade Committee, right? Is that you're face to face, you're working with people.
And again, I think in our community especially, people are like, I wish there were more things to do. Hmm. And it's committees like this or it's organizations that produce those items that need those younger people to be involved. And you'd be surprised what a handful of people couldn't do with a small amount of time, but a big amount of commitment.
Yeah. And many hands make light work.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yes.
Speaking with Rebecca Breen this morning on Morning Drive, she is the president of the Pittsfield Parade Committee. That's the 4th of July parade, if you're wondering. And that's coming up in only 2 weeks, 14 days away from now. Let's talk about then some of the juicy bits.
Sure.
People want to know what's in the parade this year. First of all, is it going to be a big parade?
Yes, actually, we are at 155 units right now in the parade itself. So we are up from last year, which is wonderful. Yep. There's a wide variety of groups that are going to be there, many which, though, fit into our theme of Young at Heart. We're lucky enough, we have multiple groups of cheerleaders who will be there. Mm-hmm. We have a number of dance groups that will be there. We even have a group of young runners who are coming and marching together. And those types of activities, it just, again, it shows what our community is all about.
Mm-hmm. And so we'll talk about that. So music, what do we have for music this year?
Oh, so of course we have a number of fife and drum corps, which is always what you identify with the parade itself. So we're very excited about that. A lot of our floats this year have actual bands, including Berkshire Jazz. We'll be actually performing on some of the floats themselves. And of course, the Kensington String Band, who are also known as the Mummers, come in full costume and they will be back along with the Wofat brass band.
Oh, wow.
They have been
so
very popular.
Are they a pair? Do they come together?
They do. So they actually share a bus and come up from Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
They have both performed in the Philadelphia Mummers Parade in January of all time periods.
You have to be from Philadelphia to be a mummer?
I'm not sure the qualifications, but it is absolutely where it started and where it has grown. Mm-hmm. You know, and they come up together. They also do our event on July 3rd. We do a pre-concert with them, and this year that'll be free for families at the Common. So we're excited about that.
We'll talk more about that in the second half.
But the costumes that the Mummers come in are always beautiful. They're loud and they're obnoxious, and it's the best thing ever. We also have a pairing this year
And when we talk about the costumes, let's just describe that for our radio folks. Because,
oh my goodness,
again,
they are
paint the picture for
they
us.
They are sequined, they are shiny, there is
a lot of feathers, right? That's what I think of when I think of the Mummers.
Yes, they are over the top in terms of big shoulder pads and tall hats, and they come down the street playing their instruments in that attire. Mm-hmm. So it is definitely a spectacle.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's fantastic to have so many talented and professional musicians in this parade, right? I mean, this is a major event. If they're coming for this 4th of July, this is the only 4th of July parade they're doing.
Yes.
Clearly, right? They're not getting on the bus and going somewhere else. They're coming to Pittsfield, which is pretty cool.
Which is wonderful.
And I think about 4th of July parades anywhere else in the region, and I think Pittsfield probably has one of the premier events.
Absolutely. And I mean, things, again, when you bring in major talent from outside of the area, when you talk about costs for a parade, you're talking about the busing. You're talking about the hotel. Mm-hmm. You're sometimes talking about, in this case, they come up on the 3rd because of the length of travel. Mm. So you're also providing them dinner the night before. But we feel that the type of professionalism and the level of talent that they bring is worth it for us to be able to do that, you know. And then we have bands such as the Sunrisers, which is a traditional marching band. But they also come up in the night before often, or sometimes they'll play multiple parades in the same day.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the level of talent bringing in someone of that nature. We also have another band coming in from the Midwest called the Patriots Marching Band.
Oh, that's interesting.
And they're high schoolers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So again, our Young at Heart theme, when you're looking at bringing in, they are a large group itself. There's about 85 participants.
Wow.
That will be coming in for our parade. And it's
that's
because
cool.
they saw, again, the sort of the grand scale that we have here in our small town.
That's excellent,
yes.
right? And then, of course, not to forget any of our local high school bands as well. And when I was interviewing Madison Quinn, your grand marshal this year, she had reminded us that she was very familiar with the Pittsfield 4th of July parade because she marched in it with Pittsfield High School.
Pittsfield
when she
High
was in high school,
yes,
right?
Yes, that band actually will be leading off the parade
excellent.
This year. So
wow,
we're very
great.
Excited.
Nice. So, and what great experience for those kids as well, right? To have such an amazing large event parade, and they've, you know, it's July 4th, let's face it. I mean, school's out either today or Monday, depending on what school you went to and how many snow days you got, very close to now. So, you know, 2 weeks into summer, they're still playing their instrument, they're still practicing and marching, right? And so that's a commitment for them.
Absolutely. And I know it seems silly, but when you're talking about the Pittsfield High School, there's cost involved in that as well. Mm. Because it's a school event, mm-hmm. there are regulations that have to go, so they actually have to provide busing for their kids.
Mm.
You know, you would think that you're like, oh, well, they're at PHS, the parade starts at South Street, that should be fine, but they have to get from the end of the parade back to the school, and that's something as part of, again, a school commitment mm-hmm. has to happen. So again, those are funds that, you know, they're not extremely large, but when you're talking about your total budget,
still
that you
something.
Have to, you have to think about.
Yeah. All these details.
I
and
know.
It's lovely to be able to talk about that here on the air as well, because I think most people will just go to the parade and they'll look at their favorite things and they'll, you know, deal with whatever and they'll buy a balloon or whatever and they will go home and not think about all the things that went into it. So I love being able to hear some of the backstories on this. So floats, what do we have for floats this year?
So many floats. So
that's good.
Again,
because
no,
for a while the floats I thought had sort of taken a dip.
They had. And some of that does have to do with time commitment. One
mm-hmm.
of the things that, you know, not only do you have to find a vehicle, you have to find a trailer. You then have to decorate it.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that decoration is actually attending a seminar with our Pittsfield Fire Department mm-hmm. and individuals from our team to explain safety measures.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on a trailer and there's going to be people on the trailer, you have to make sure that they can't fall off the trailer.
Yeah.
If there's kids on the trailer, how they have to be confined to make sure that there's no accidents in terms of even them wanting to hop off to, you know,
see
mom, you know, type of thing.
Right.
And then all of the decorations have to be fire safety rated.
And that's not a joke either. As a matter of fact, I was speaking with someone who had been involved with the parade back in the 80s, and there was a story he had about a float catching fire
mm-hmm.
during the parade. Like while the parade
yes.
was moving, the float caught fire. So that's something you do not want.
No.
So yeah, the preparation I would imagine is definitely paramount there.
Yeah. So we have our organizations, the Marine Corps League is having a float, American Legion. Again, there's actually a Veterans Breakfast Club who are doing a float as well, which is amazing. Pittsfield Bus Operations has always been an exciting one for people to see because they go all out. And then, of course, like the Hinsdale Days does a float with music. Lee Bank also has a band on their float.
Great.
So it just, it's wonderful to see everyone from the Knights of Columbus to the Irish Sister City and all of the things that will, you know, we're seeing, I think, a comeback for those.
That's great.
Yes.
So good to hear. And then we've got so much more here. Let's go into one more thing, which is balloons.
Yes.
Right? Because you think of all the things that have to go into a parade. One of the things that everybody looks forward to are those big balloons coming down the street. So we have a kind of a mixture, right, this year of big and small balloons. How does that work?
So again, when you think about costs, helium right now is a shortage of helium, of all things. You wouldn't think of that in your daily life.
They're not making any more, apparently.
Correct.
Yes.
And so we have done a mixture of helium balloons and what are called cold air balloons. Hmm. So those are the ones that have a giant fan in them, and the cold air blowing through is what keeps the balloon mm-hmm. filled. Mm-hmm. But that does
kind of like a bouncy house.
It's not, yes, yeah. Exactly. But that does change what you need for handlers. Mm. So a helium balloon obviously is filled with helium, and you have the strings, and you need like, you know, 6 people, 10 people to do that. You got to make sure they go under the lights mm-hmm, as you go through. Mm-hmm. But the other ones are a little bit more complex because you need to have a platform on wheels to hold the fan.
Mm.
So that adds, more people. Sometimes we needed as many as 15 to 20 to do one balloon to make sure that the fan is getting pushed while the rest of it is being managed. Mm. And that's where a lot of these volunteers do come in.
Yeah.
Our theme, again, being young at heart, you will see a lot of children's themed balloons this year, which I think will be wonderful. But we can't find them locally. You know, we source this out, obviously, to a company from outside the area.
There's no local balloon company?
Not that I'm aware of. If there is, please call me.
Right?
But that also, we have them shipped in advance. They have to be stored. Mm. They then have to be moved from the shipping locate where we've had them stored to the location on South Street. We also bring in 2 individuals from the balloon company as well. And again, hotel rooms are needed to help facilitate that. And then there is a lot of work that morning to unpack all the balloons. And that is a very physical job.
Yeah, I'd say.
And so again.
And that happens the morning of.
That happens
so again,
the morning of.
Parade kicks off at 10 a.m.
Oh,
right?
Most of us are there by 6 at the latest.
Yeah, I would think so, right? Yeah.
At the latest,
gotta
yes.
Because that's 4 solid hours of prep time.
Absolutely.
At least.
And you always have to take into account any concerns if there's anything that goes wrong or, you know, there's someone who needs to change location where they're going to be setting up. And again, how many volunteers come, what other, you know, if it's going to rain, weather watch is a big one.
I was going to say, and then there's the weather.
Yes.
Yes. Well, you know, Rebecca Breen, we're going to be taking our little top of the hour break here. And we have so much more to talk about with the 4th of July parade coming up in only 2 weeks. Lots more things to discuss about the units in the parade and then also some of the other activities that are going on both before and after the parade. So let's talk about that in the second half.
Okay.
All right, here we go. We'll take that quick break here, folks, and we'll be back on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Stick around.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. When Taconic High School was demolished, we could have lost this radio station. Instead, PCTV stepped in, built a new studio and transmitter, and gave the station new life. And now it's time to pay that back. Support this station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button. You won't be sorry. Pittsfield Community Radio thanks you for your support.
It feels like nobody can agree on anything anymore. But disagreements lead to compromise, and compromise leads to progress. And that's the way we accomplish important things in a democracy. Luckily, we have PCTV's coverage of our local meetings. We can see for ourselves the issues that are in front of us. We can watch our elected officials decide how to solve problems, and that service must have support to survive. Because if there's one thing we can agree on, it's PCTV's reliable coverage. PCTV, support transparency.
Hey water lovers, this is Leslie Gabriel, your water ambassador, host of And So It Flows. Our water music and water culture brings water outside the cup. Moisten your ears every Tuesday at 2 p.m. here at WTBR 89.7 FM. Love your water.
In the abundance of water. The fool will get thirsty.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back on Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, and Access Pittsfield Channel 1301. Thank you for being here this morning. Sean Sear here with you on Friday, June 20th, and Rebecca Breen is my guest as the president of the Pittsfield 4th of July Parade Committee. Lots more to talk about with Rebecca in just a moment. First, let's get that weather forecast for you for today and find out as you are looking outside and maybe have already been outside. It is much cooler out there than it was yesterday and quite a bit more breezy and windy. So let's listen to what the National Weather Service has for us today.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Wind advisory in effect until 2 p.m. EDT this afternoon. Today, partly sunny this morning, then clearing. Highs in the upper 70s. West wind 15 to 20 miles per hour. Gusts up to 45 miles per hour, decreasing to 35 miles per hour this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then partly cloudy with a chance of showers after midnight. Lows in the upper 50s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour in the evening. Chance of rain 30%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
And long term, I'm hearing that we are having our heat wave, our first heat wave of the year coming up starting Sunday. It's going to get hot, and then Monday and Tuesday even hotter. I am hearing heat indexes of around 100, which is no joke. So start preparing for that now if you can. Think about how you're going to stay cool for those days, because that is really, really important when we get these wicked heat waves. All right. Back here on Morning Drive, Rebecca Breen, thanks again for being here this morning.
Thank you for having me.
So we left off on balloons, and I just want to move on to our veterans groups, because I know that's such a key part of the 4th of July parade. Usually they're some of the first groups that you see in the parade. They're leading off, right? Who do we have this year helping us out?
Absolutely. So again, I think what a wonderful day it is. So many fun things, but there's also things to remember when it comes to our 4th of July parade. And I think honoring our veterans is part of that. You know, our veterans of the foreign wars are always going to be there. Our Dalton American Legion post is there. We actually have brought in veterans from a group that's the USS Massachusetts. They are a submarine, actually, so they are bringing individuals who have served there, which is great. You know, James Callahan veteran, the Vietnam veterans come always, and Soldier On, which is a local organization, obviously, who help veterans of all kinds. But we always love having them there. The Ghent, New York VFW brings their color guard and their band, which is always wonderful, and they will be at the front of the parade as well. And then, of course, the Marine Corps and our American Legion. So again, these are longstanding groups that we've always been proud to have as as the beginning and the lead off of the parade.
Absolutely, and justly so.
Yes.
And of course, people love fire trucks in the parade.
Yes.
There are usually no shortage of fire trucks and firemen.
Absolutely.
What do we have this year?
So Pittsfield, of course, will be there. Hinsdale will be there. Cheshire will be there. All of the usual suspects. My favorite is always the Alert Hose Company, which is the old-fashioned on the wheels.
Yeah.
So, you know, those individuals and those groups are great. It's one of the funnest streets as they are coming and preparing and watching them do their cartwheels and practice, you know, some of the antics that they have that are there.
The Dalton firefighters, of course, famous for the cartwheels.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, and again, when you talk about kids watching the parade, to see a fire truck up close and personal like that, I think is always a thrill for them.
Yep, absolutely. We've got elected officials, of course.
Yes,
who will be sprinkled in.
Absolutely.
And always represent.
Our mayor will be there. Our city council will be there. Both our Paul Mark and Tricia Farley Bouvier will be there as well. Our Sheriff Bowler, again, always marches with us. So. Yeah.
And I'm sure our mayor, Peter Marchetti, will be marching in the parade. It'll probably, again, seem strange for him to be doing that and not to be involved with everything as he had been for years.
He's messaging me regularly going, do I need to help? Do you need help on the street? What can I do? You know, which is always wonderful. That transition with his experience has been immeasurable for us. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, no, why don't you just take the time and watch the parade this year?
It's always hard to transition from something you've done for a long, long time.
Absolutely.
Miss Massachusetts is a participant this year, and Miss Teen Massachusetts, right?
Yes. Talk the about interesting that. Part about Miss Massachusetts is she does not actually get crowned until late next week.
Ah.
So we
really
don't even know who she is.
Yeah.
Every year we're like, okay, let's get a sign made up and let's last minute make sure it's updated. Hmm. But we also have some other youths who are coming. So Miss Freedom Trail, which is a local Boston pageant that happens. There's an individual here from Berkshire County as well who has been crowned for that. And she will actually be running as Miss Massachusetts coming up. So she's another one who, when you look at what she does in her extracurricular activities, is amazing. Mm. She works with another youth cancer group as well. So it's one of those things where we love to see how these young individuals are making such a difference, I think, in our community. So
very encouraging to hear. Absolutely.
Yes.
Of course, we have car groups that will be part of the parade and always a favorite of a lot of kids as well as adults.
Yes.
And you got some big cars, you got some little cars, you got some ATVs, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So again, people like the Rumble Strip Garage will be there. The Shriners will be there,
Gotta
which are always
Shriners.
My favorite thing. Yep. But yes, an ATV group who is here this year will be, it's a group that actually teaches young people on how to do mechanics. And so they are bringing their ATVs to sort of show off what their kids have done.
Nice.
Yes.
That's awesome. And, again, love the Shriners. Again, another group that is very positive with the things that they do, right, for the community and for kids as well. And those are usually fun to video also, I got to say. They're a favorite of the camera people.
I bet. I know they come right at you and then veer off at the last minute, and you just have to stand there.
We've never had a Shriner-related accident.
Correct.
They are pretty good with that.
Yes.
So, anything else that I missed as far as the units in the parade that you can think of?
Well, I think, again, some of the additional young people who will be there, Rope and Youth will be there. Mm-hmm. That is an organization here locally who helps children of color sort of have a community. Top Tier Elite will be doing their cheerleading. Mm-hmm. Cheer 413 will be there as well. As I mentioned, the Berkshire Thunder and Lightning, who is a youth running group, will be marching. I think it'll just be a great day.
Fantastic. And there are so many beautiful outfits, ethnic garb, costumes, various things that people will dress up in and wear for this parade that just blows you away as you're walking down. There's usually some karate or jujitsu groups. Do we have any of those this year?
Yes, absolutely. One of our regulars who will be there is the U.S. Taekwondo and archery group. So they are always a fan favorite to watch what those young people will do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are we doing any live archery in the parade?
I have told them that they're not allowed, So I'm hoping.
just had a vision there.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So let's do some logistics.
Yes.
The parade will shut down an area of South Street and East and West Housatonic Street starting at what time?
So the street technically is closed at 8 a.m., and that includes North Street, South Street, all the way down to quite a ways, actually. Yeah. We have more larger vehicles this year than ever before. Premium Waters, Lenco, Casella, you know, all of those groups end up on that area along with the numerous floats that we have. A lot of the side streets like Wendell and Bartlett are also closed down. West Housatonic Street down to Center is closed.
And the reason you have to close all those roads down is because you're stacking all these units in them, right?
Absolutely. So each of the groups, each of the streets is sort of designated for a group. So floats are all on South Street, and we prepare all of the balloons behind Aaron's there on West Housatonic Street. We have a street that's strictly for fire trucks, one that's for community groups, one that's for music, and then one is for veterans and some of those smaller car groups. And so they start arriving between 8 and 8:30, and we set them up. Each one has a number of where they're assigned in the parade itself, so anywhere from 1 to 155. And so then we sort of have to, like a zipper, put them in place. But we all they need to have some place to stay in the meantime until we get to that 10 o'clock time period. So we know the road closes at 8, but we would really ask people to try and avoid this area if at all possible, as kids are getting dropped off or as larger buses are trying to get through or the floats are trying to line up so they can be judged. So, you know, it's wonderful. And, of course, by 9 o'clock, the Berkshire Health Systems 5K July 4th race starts. So again, that starts all the way down on Wacona Street, well past the Wacona Park. And so runners will be there warming up. And so at 9 o'clock, that goes off and runs the entire parade route and back.
So it's really starting at the end of the parade, kind of, in that area, coming up the parade route, turning around at
the corner
east and west of Housatonic, right, which is where you've got all these units sort of stacked and ready to go for the parade that starts at 10. So now you've got a road race coming, and they're going to run all the way back to Wacona Street for the finish line, right?
Correct. They finish right at Wacona Park. So some of the things to keep in mind, again, make sure you're watching for people's if there's no parking. There is actually no parking allowed at Wacona Park because that is, as we said, not only does the road race end there, but the parade ends there as well.
And all of those units
have to go somewhere. Yeah. So be prepared. We know that people will start setting chairs up officially that morning.
Yes.
So we would ask them to, again, be respectful of people's property and things of that nature. But, you know, we know that it's exciting and you want to have a great spot. But, you know.
I don't think it's quite as much as it was before. But in the past, people had put their chairs out like the night before. And the city had to sort of crack down on that a little bit, right?
So yes.
Technically, you're supposed to be, what, 6 a.m. maybe?
6 a.m. Yeah. And also keep in mind that because the parade actually comes down on the southbound lane of North Street, that you won't want to be putting your chairs out in the middle of the road until the road is actually closed.
Yes, good point. Yes. For your own safety.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And I'll tell you, as we set up for this parade on a TV side, which we can talk about near the end of the show, that is a very, very big, if you haven't spent any time just standing around on Park Square, North Street, South Street area, that is the major traffic area for the entire county. Like, that's the heart of all the traffic of the county, comes right through there. And it is loud and noisy and rumbly. And sometimes people aren't paying all that much attention to pedestrians and TV crews and things like that. So you do have to keep your wits about you. I would say, be very careful with that.
And if you have to be to work that day as opposed to the parade, you can always view it on PCTV. But I would also allow yourself a little extra time to be able to get around all of those detours.
Absolutely. Yep. So then we've got, that's the logistics of the parade itself, which is wonderful. There are some other big things that you have going on in and around. We have a big concert happening just the day before, right? So as if the parade wasn't enough to put together, now you've got a concert, but this is wonderful. It's at the Common.
Yes. So this concert, we actually work with the Kensington String Band, obviously the Mummers, and the Wofat Brass Band. And for the past, this will be the third year, because they come up the day before, they offer to do a concert. And we've always used the First Methodist Church, which has been wonderful, and we've used it as a fundraiser. And we were very, very lucky this year where Milltown Foundation has offered to sponsor it so that we can do it in the common. It can be family friendly, and it can be free to the public. So that'll be on the 3rd at the common, starting at 6 p.m. BB's Hotspot will be there as a food truck if you want to purchase food, and Craven's Ice Cream will be there if you'd like to purchase a treat. But you can also bring a picnic if you'd like. We will be doing a bucket brigade, as we call them, if you'd like to donate towards the parade itself as part of that. But we're really looking forward to having that sort of sound and hearing them outside in that. They don't dress up for that night, but they do bring out a couple of costumes for people to see. And in the past couple of years, even to try on.
That's interesting. So, and what a great place to hear a free public concert, of course, Pittsfield Common.
Absolutely.
Right there on First Street.
Yes.
Plenty of parking across the street in the parking lot, so it's just a wonderful place to hop in and have a good night. So what time is that one?
6 o'clock.
6 p.m. on July 3rd. That's a Thursday.
That's correct.
And then the parade happens, and then July 6th, there is a big car show. Talk about that.
Yeah, so this, again, third year in a row, we have decided to do a car show. We do it on the Sunday that is closest to the 4th, so in this case, it will cap off your holiday weekend. That happens at the McKay Street parking lot. It will start at 10 a.m. and goes until 2. Any type of car is welcome. It doesn't have to be a classic car. It doesn't have to be, you know, anything fancy. You're more than, happy to have you bring, I don't know.
How about a 74 Pinto?
You could bring that. You could bring a Corolla. Anything
Dodge
you'd
Dart.
Like. Yeah.
Yes.
And so we ask for a $10 donation just to be part of it. We'll have a 50-50 raffle there as well. There are prizes that are given out, and that goes until from 10 until 2 McKay Street on Sunday the 6th. If it rains, we'll actually be inside the McKay Street garage.
Right.
Yes.
Which is a nice place to have, right?
And, yes.
And that's been used before.
Absolutely. Yep. And
but
fact,
it won't stop car people.
It depends on your car, I'll be honest.
Guess.
My dad's a car guy. There are times he'll bring a certain car out if it's nice and a certain car if it's not so nice.
Yeah.
But even if it's hot out, we can always use the garage as well in terms of some shade.
Right. So car enthusiasts, remember that's July 6th, the Sunday from 10 to 2 at the McKay Street lot and or garage.
And there's no pre-registration. Some car shows require you to sign up in advance. We do not ask that. You can just show up.
All right. That's great. And a wonderful, another good fundraiser for the parade. Kind of leads me to the next question, right?
Yes.
How in the world do you keep this parade running financially?
Donations.
Yeah.
In reality, I mean, we are lucky that there are a number of banks, insurance agencies, foundations, and things like that do give regularly. But again, the individual donations of $25 or more get you a free parade poster. If you've missed a year, we actually have some of the older parade posters also available that you can purchase for $10 each. All of those can be viewed and purchased on our website, which is thepittsfieldparade.com.
Pittsfieldparade.com. That's the way to go.
You can make your donations there as well.
And it is a very beautiful poster this year.
Well, thank
as well.
You. Yes. Now,
we showed that. We can't show it on the radio, but we did show it in the parade and preview program, which you can watch on PittsfieldTV.org.
Yes. Huck Elling is the artist. She's done a number of the local murals that have gone up in downtown over the past couple of years. We'll actually be doing a art show at Downtown Pittsfield Inc. of her art, including that parade poster, as well as some of the more popular ones over the past few years during the month of July.
What's it like trying to find a parade sponsor in October? Because, that's when you have to do it. You have to secure your sponsors well before the parade, well before anyone's in the mood to think about 4th of July.
And that was some of the challenge this year that we ran into with transition, is that some of those long-standing relationships, again, need to be formed anew.
Yeah.
And so for this year, I will say that our parade till is a little low, you know, and that and some of that did have to do with transition, but it's going out. You'll probably see some fundraisers happening this fall of all time periods as we're trying to, because we're not looking to support this year's parade.
Yeah.
We're looking at supporting next year's parade.
And further out.
Or
right?
further out.
Yeah.
Because of rising costs, again, there are things that we definitely are looking at adjusting to see where we can save some money. Mm. The printing of our parade booklet is very expensive, even though we have a great partner with the Berkshire Eagle. That is something that unfortunately isn't able to be done for free.
Yeah.
So that is a large expense that people don't always think about. And we'll be doing pushing a digital copy this year, and you may see that sort of transition in the future. But yeah, you'll see things like probably a music bingo coming up or something of that nature. You'll probably see some Dine to Donate coming up this fall, as we know we are going to fall short in supporting this year's parade. And then come January, which is considered grant season, you'll see probably a lot of things going out from us saying, do you know of an organization? Do you know of, you know, a larger commitment where, you know, is your company wanting to be a major donor?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, $10,000 is a lot of money for a company to put out, but it's only a small portion of what it costs to do the parade.
Right, as we've detailed just on this show alone,
yes.
To imagine just those dollars adding up.
Absolutely.
When you talk about the real entertainment that people get for a free parade, right?
Yes.
It's not free.
Correct. I mean, $30,000 on music is a low budget in comparison to what we've done at some other places do.
Yeah.
$20,000 for the balloons, again, with the cost of helium, of the shipping of them, of the staff that needs to support them, insurance. Is something people don't think about. This is a very large event, and insurance is not inexpensive for something like this.
So obviously the sponsors are critical. How can ordinary people contribute? And just if they've got a small amount, but they'd like to donate, a couple ways, right? They can do it in advance now, but there's also the day of the parade.
Yes. Yeah, so on the day of the parade, obviously we'll be doing our bucket brigade as well. And that is usually the staff or the volunteers who are part of the committee. At the end of the parade, you'll see them walking down with red buckets and you can donate there. But again, you can PittsfieldParade.com. Mm-hmm. You can come to the Downtown Pittsfield Inc. offices where we can collect cash or check there. And again, that's where you can pick up your parade poster.
That's perfect. And of course, the other thing, as we were talking about fundraising, is volunteers, the need for volunteers and a surge of volunteers on the day of the parade, right?
Absolutely. So on the day of the parade, we are always welcoming anyone who's 18 or older, preferably even a family or an organization of or a company who can come in as a larger group to help with those balloons that we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're 13 years or older or a family that wants to, you know, come and help out, we always need individuals to hold the banners that, you know, support the companies that have donated. So those are things, again, PittsfieldParade.com. You can email us through the link that is there at either PittsfieldParade@AOL.com or info@PittsfieldParade.com.
It's a great experience for kids. And I know my kids held banners in the parade when they were younger. So it's a great experience for them. It's fun. And it's a team sport, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Rebecca Breen, in the final few moments that we have here on the show, I can't believe it went by that fast. Again, we'll remind people we're talking about the Pittsfield 4th of July parade happening obviously on July 4th. Although I say obviously, there are some years when it happens on the 5th because if it falls on a Sunday, they move it one day later.
That is correct.
But this year it is on the 4th, which is a Friday. Kicks off that wonderful July 4th weekend that everybody looks forward to. Let's just let people know also that if you can't make it in person to the parade, and there are people listening to us now from other parts of the region or the country, that you can tune in to the PCTV coverage of the 4th of July parade. This has been a long-standing tradition for our organization as well. It goes back to at least 1988 when some of the first equipment was purchased specifically to produce the television coverage of the 4th of July parade. So it's a long-standing tradition for us. It's our biggest production here for PCTV for the entire year. It's eight cameras and lots of, you know, big audio and transmission and live streaming and things like that. So it's a big production for us as well. And I'll just let people know that they'll be able to watch it on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301 on cable. You'll be able to watch it on PCTV Select 1, which is at our website, pittsfieldtv.org. You can also download the free app, which is available for Roku or Fire TV or Apple TV, and watch it that way. That's PCTV Select. That's what you'd be looking for, and it'll be there. We'll have it on Facebook as well. Facebook's always funny because, you know, if they start hearing music and things like that, the feed can get cut off. It's very strange. That's why we make sure that we have it on something like PCTV Select so that you can't lose it. But if you prefer to watch it on Facebook, it'll be there. And then also you'll be able to watch it by going to the Pittsfield Parade Committee's website, right?
Yes, we are linking that to our website as well, and we thank you for all the partnership and support that this PCTV has provided us over the years.
Absolutely. Glad to do it, and I know our volunteers always get psyched up about doing the parade because it's a big thing to do, unless it's pouring, and then they're not that psyched. They're maybe a little psyched, but they're not that psyched.
It is rain or shine, yes.
And one more thing for listeners on WTBR-FM, there will also be a simulcast of the parade. So if you can only listen to it on the radio, you'll actually be able to hear the soundtrack of our production of the parade. So lots of ways to watch and listen to the parade this year. Rebecca Breen, I want to say thank you again for being here this morning. So good to get all the details, and good luck in the next 2 weeks.
Well, thank you. It's always my pleasure.
Not like there's anything big coming up.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for all your work and all of your committee's work putting this all together for the enjoyment of the whole community. We appreciate it. All right, everybody, have a great weekend out there, and stay cool if you can on Sunday and into next week. Bill Sturgeon will be back again on Monday. Take care, everybody.